Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For believers on the racetrack of life, there is no guarantee of a bed of ease. A life of servanthood is what lies before us, a life like the one Jesus lived. Are you ready to embrace the disciplines that grow godliness? If so, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer concludes his series on Disciplines That Grow Godliness as he wraps up a message on the discipline of servanthood. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul draws a direct connection between servanthood and ministry.
You become a servant of the people to whom you are witnessing. Paul says it is through servanthood that we gain credibility. That's what he's talking about. He says, we recommending ourselves as servants. You begin to serve. And as a result of service, God begins to use the message which people reject verbally and show that it is a message that should be investigated. Lauren Sani, who for many years was head of Navigators, when the Navigators emphasize servanthood, somebody asked him one time, they said, how do you know whether you have the attitude of a servant? Very good question. He said, you know that you have the attitude of a servant by the way in which you respond when you are treated like one. That's a very good answer. One day there were some disciples who were arguing as to who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Big debate. And Jesus said, look, you're talking like the pagans. You're talking like the Gentiles. That's the way the world thinks, but it's not supposed to be like that among you. In fact, if anyone among you is going to be great, let him be as this little child. Let him be the servant of all. And the bottom line that Jesus is saying, very important principle, because especially in some cultures, the number of servants that you have was a sign of prestige. What Jesus is saying is, it is not the number of people that serve you that is important. It is the number of people whom you serve that is significant and is the mark of greatness. That is what gives your life the authenticity that we all seek. And that's why Jesus was so believable, is because he did not come to lord it over people. He came to serve. And as a result of serving, people saw that he spoke the truth. So the first principle is credibility comes through servanthood. The second is that servanthood leads to or is made credible by suffering. By suffering. That really then begins to get the gap between life and lip closed. Where what you believe and the way in which you behave now suddenly becomes one when you're in a position of suffering. It was Charles Colson who said that whenever God allows people in the world to get cancer, he also allows Christians to get cancer so that the world can see the difference. You see, because that's what gives credibility. It's Tom Condren calling me 2 days before he died and said, Erwin, goodbye, I will see you in heaven. I will never forget that conversation, never as long as I live. How deeply I was affected by it, dying with such confidence that he said that all the promises of God had been made true to him as he lay on his deathbed. Now that's what you mean by credibility. So servanthood leads to suffering. And finally, suffering leads to salvation. It leads to salvation. I do not mean that through your suffering you are saved. Let me be very clear about that. I mean that through your suffering others are brought to salvation. That was true in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died in many respects like other criminals died. Crucifixion in those days was very common, but there was something about Jesus that was so incredibly unique. There was something about Jesus, the way in which he was able to accept his fate with a sense of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He accepted it with a sense of resignation to the will of God, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, but accepted it. People who looked upon him were impressed. And while he was on the cross, the Bible says a centurion gazing at Jesus, said, "Surely, surely this is the Son of God." It's because of his suffering. And as a result of his suffering, salvation came to that centurion, and salvation comes to you and to me as well. And it is through the suffering of Christ, the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Jesus was a bruised servant, and because he was a bruised servant, he was a qualified servant, authentic servant. That's why Tertullian said so many years ago that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And the Romans said, the more Christians we kill, the more there are. It seems as if that would be a difficult circumstance under which Christianity would spread. And yet the more Christians that were put to death, the more needed to be put to death. What brought that about? It is because the Christians who died with such a sense of commitment to God that other people said, I want what they have, even if I have to die too. The ultimate statement of credibility. During the days in Germany, those dark days, in Hitler's Germany, when the church was under so much persecution, there was a pastor by the name of Baumgarten, which in German means tree garden, literally. But he made a very wonderful and telling statement. He said, sometimes the gospel can no longer be communicated with words. He said, the time has come where the gospel must be communicated through the deeds and the sufferings of the saints. And then he says it will be translated into a new vocabulary that will cause people to believe. May I say to you today that with our age of cynicism, oftentimes the gospel can no longer be simply communicated with words. There are people whose hearts are open to the truth, but there are those whose hearts are closed to the truth. They say, don't tell me, I don't want to hear. And how will we reach them? The answer is the deeds and the sufferings of the saints, the ability to have trials, but to accept them with a sense of triumph and to be able to give a testimony of God's faithfulness through all the ups and downs of life. That's what makes people think that we might have something they do not. And that is the key that God uses to unlock closed human hearts, the suffering and the deeds of the saints. 1934, Martin Niemöller stepped up to the pulpit in Berlin, Germany, in a suburb of Berlin, Dahlem. And he said to all of the people during the time of great Nazi persecution and infiltration into the church's agenda. And I'm paraphrasing now. I wish I had the whole quote, but I don't. But he says, God has allowed Satan to take the entire church in Germany and to shake it like a sieve. And he says, God has done that, that the chaff might be separated from the wheat. And he didn't say this, but I would like to add that God then takes that wheat that has been separated from the chaff, and when that wheat is planted, it bears fruit because it has proven its credibility. And when the Aryan clause was to be signed, saying that no person of Jewish blood could occupy a pulpit in Germany, and in 1938, when the time came when all pastors were forced to sign personal allegiance to Hitler in an oath or be excommunicated, about 800 pastors didn't. The rest did. And these 800 pastors were taken into concentration camps and into prisons, and they witnessed to the love of Christ, and reports have come from people who believed in Jesus because of their witness. And when they talked to people about Christ, nobody said, oh, spare me. Who are you to talk? Because that which they believed and the way in which they behaved and their life and their lip were one. We've got all kinds of programs to save America at this critical hour, and all of them, I'm sure, are good. But I'll tell you this, But America will not be saved from its critical hour until every single person that is listening to me and the thousands and millions of believers begin to say, by God's grace, I am going to live a life that will make the gospel worthy of getting a hearing and investigation. And what we will discover when that begins to happen is that throughout this whole country, men and women will believe. And the answer to it all is to become a servant who is willing to be a suffering servant, that the salvation of others will be brought about. I wish it were easier. I wish it were simply a matter of words. But the time has come when it is the deeds and suffering of the saints that will translate the gospel into language that is understood. And as I close, may I remind you that the gospel that we're talking about is the good news of Christ. We are not, if you're here visiting today, I want you to know that we are not a group of weirdos. We just act like it once in a while. What we believe is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was a voluntary death given for sinners who desperately need to be reconciled to God, and Christ is the only one who can reconcile us to God. And there is no other way to be reconciled. And you can't be reconciled through the various rituals of the church and through good deeds. That comes as a result of being a Christian. You must be reconciled by a transfer of faith in Christ alone, in humility, recognizing that apart from Him, you'd be lost forever. And it is that that saves you, makes you a member of God's family, and then gives you the strength to be that credible Christian that the world so desperately needs. My friend, today I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Running to Win family. I'm holding in my hands a letter that comes to us from someone who says, before I came to faith in Christ, I was in a cult. Your program was like a steady rock of truth that helped me immensely. Tears of gratitude would come to my eyes as I would thank God for giving us such wonderful teaching. Someone who was not afraid to tackle the tough subjects. Well, my friend, I want to thank you for that. But I want to ask you a question. Would you be willing to become what we call an endurance partner? You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what is that? I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. When you're there, you click on the endurance partner button, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001.
That was Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluding The Discipline of Servanthood, the last message in a series on disciplines that grow godliness. Often, New Year's resolutions don't work. Next time, don't miss how to say no to a stubborn habit. This entire 5-part series on discipline can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.